The World Champion Dodgers have some World Champion podcasts. Don't miss a chance to catch up on Dodger Talk by podcasting it on the iHeartRadio app. Just search Dodger Talk for new episodes every weekday and after each game. AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Okay, Laker fans now. LeBron and AD, Bill Orme was on earlier, Rodney.
Yep.
Talking about the fact that they should be back in about 3 weeks. That's kind of what you're looking at. So we've got the schedule here, looking at their schedule for the next 3 weeks. And then we've got the schedule after LeBron and AD potentially are back. And we have not done this in a long period of time, but we'll do it today. We'll do it like at 1:30, 1:35. We'll open the phone lines, and we're going to let Laker fans weigh in here. And here's the question. You know, I'm not saying you need to have a panic meter. I wouldn't do that because I'm not panicked at all, which is highly unusual. But the question really becomes, where are you now when you look at where they're at and what it could be? Are you red, orange, or green? Green will be, it's fine. I don't care what happens the rest of the way. Get these guys back and it's a home run. I like what I saw against Brooklyn. We'll see if you like what you see against the Knicks. Could be. I got a few concerns here. When they come back, might take them a while to work into shape. They may not be as effective. I don't know. The playoffs will start. Maybe they have to be in that play-in game. And red is, I think we've got a real problem. But we'll let you guys weigh in on that. And that's coming up later on in the hour. Now, off day for the Dodgers, not for David Vasse. He'll have Dodger talk tonight, but pretty sparkling opening for the Dodgers. And things went about as well as they could out at the stadium. Let's bring in our man, David Vasse. And Dave, thank you for stopping by.
No, thank you for having me, guys. And Rodney, I heard that you were at Dodger Stadium. I saw Holly tweet a picture of three Dodger dogs, and I think she was protecting you, Rodney. I feel like you ate those three Dodger dogs. Were they for you?
Oh no, Dave. I'm on my summer get ready for summer diet. So no, those weren't all for me. Those were hers, and she been missing those for about a year. So to be able to be in that stadium and get those Dodger dogs, she couldn't wait, man. So yeah, she put that out there. But no, it wasn't mine. They weren't mine.
Fred, you buying that? Fred, you buying that? Rodney did not have one Dodger dog at Dodger Stadium this weekend.
I would never question what Rodney says.
Well, you said three, Dave. I had one. I did have one. You can't go to Dodger Stadium without getting a Dodger dog. You got to have one at least. But I did not have.
Yes.
Three.
Okay, one's three. Good. At least you come clean with one.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
Stay on that real quick, Dave. Just because I was there opening day, I was, you know, lucky enough to get there, and then the next day, opening day was kind of a surprise, but the next day I was there Saturday night as well. The atmosphere was, to me, was incredible. I loved the atmosphere in the stands, even though there was, you know, 11,000 or so, or give or take a few that were in the stands. They made an impact, and they made their voices heard. It was loud. Justin Turner home run on opening day, it got loud. You know, two outs late in the game with, you know, guys on the mound, it got loud. I thought the atmosphere was great. And I want to say this about the Dodgers, because opening day was crazy getting into the stadium. They had blocked off a bunch of entrances. I think it was because of the vaccine was going on as well. But you could not get in there. It took forever to get in there. And then the ordering food by mobile order was difficult. They addressed that night and fixed it the next day. They opened up more gates. They eliminated the mobile orders. The concession stands were open. I don't know many organizations would have taken that step in one day and addressed what the fans were saying were the problems on opening day.
Yeah, and really it wasn't the Dodgers, Rodney. It was the Department of Health that really restricted what the Dodgers could do on opening day. And I know they were taking them around the stadium to show them, like, hey, look, come on, we got to change some things here. So they work with the county health department to be able to change things, like you said, overnight. And I took a walk around the concourse the last two games, and there were no lines. Everybody seemed to be happy and able to get into the gift shops, get their concessions. So you're right. It was a great, great adjustment. Baseball's a game of adjustments, Fred, and the Dodgers and the county made some adjustments on the fly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Rodney. So you jumped in and did it. Just the atmosphere overall. What were your thoughts, Dave, on how things went and the fans?
No, I felt like it sounded like there were 50,000 fans there. And I could just tell you, being in the radio booth, Rick and Charlie fed off the crowd, and you could tell the difference. And then you hear a guy like Clayton Kershaw say yesterday, man, the pitching in front of these fans for the first time in over a year, it was energizing for him. And he also said it sounded like there were 50,000 instead of 15,000 in the stadium yesterday. So there's just so much passion for this team. And really, this is for good reason. It's an unprecedented run, and when your team's the World Series champion, so why wouldn't you be loud?
All right, well, on the topic of Clayton Kershaw, and we'll also touch up with Kenley Jansen. It's interesting. I mean, Kenley pitched well, obviously. I don't think yesterday the performance is worthy of winning a Cy Young, but he pitched well, and it seems to me they really want him to pitch well. And that's why, in my opinion, Dave Roberts went out of his way to say, man, Kenley was on top of it. This is great. It's like they're actually rooting for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they really are rooting for him. And Dave Roberts said that at the beginning of spring training. Andrew Friedman echoed it when he was on Dodger Talk during spring as well, that the Dodgers are a better team if Kenley Jansen is their closer. And you saw that yesterday. They were able to use Corey Knebel in a high-leverage situation that wasn't the ninth inning. So to be able to move Knebel into the sixth inning, the seventh inning, even the eighth inning if you need him, with Kenley Jansen pitching the way he did yesterday, just makes the Dodgers that much more dangerous in the bullpen. So the only thing is, and I mentioned this, you guys know this as parents and growing up, the worst answer you can give your kids is maybe. Even no is better than maybe. And that's where the Dodgers are at right now with Kenley Jansen. It's a maybe. There's no consistency on which Kenley you're going to get. Is it going to be the guy we saw yesterday? Is it going to be the five-out save we saw in Denver? Or is it going to be the guy we saw in Oakland? And he has to – everybody said two separate things to me yesterday from the clubhouse. Number one, where did that come from? And number two, can he do it again? And that's going to be the biggest test. Can he do it again? And Kenley actually sent me a voice memo today. I sent a text, and he came back with a voice memo and just said the reason why he was so good and lights out yesterday was because his mechanics were all in line, his release point, his mechanics. And he said it's up to him to keep it that way and find it. He said the second pitch that he threw, he knew he was synced up. And that just gives you confidence, and you could see it in his face how determined he was. So that's straight from Kenley Jansen today.
Yeah, and with this, Dave, because the Dodgers are so good and they can cover up a lot of things and will be able to cover up a lot of things this year, don't the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, have the luxury of kind of seeing if Kenley can be consistent? And not pull the trigger so fast and say, okay, we got to go with someone else, because they're going to win games. They're going to win games probably when they don't play well. But to have that and be able to utilize Kenley to see if he can be the guy come, you know, September, October, the Dodgers have a luxury that nobody else really has.
You're right. And I just go back to everybody not allowing the season to breathe. Kenley Jansen is capable. It's in there. We saw it yesterday. We even saw it in that opening series in Denver for a five-out save. But there's a lot of miles on Kenley Jansen. I think everybody has to realize and stop holding him to his own standard from that period of time of 2015 through 2018. He's not that guy anymore. But if you do give him extra days rest, he will look like he did yesterday. The days of four-out, five-out saves and pitching him 3 days in a row, I believe those days are gone. But the Dodgers have really good relievers like Corey Knebel and Blake Treinen and Victor Gonzalez to be able to manage that for the regular season. So I just feel like everybody has such a knee-jerk reaction to Kenley Jansen, and part of it is they're holding him to the same standard of who he was in, as the best reliever for that three-year stretch. He's a different guy now, just like we talk about with Clayton Kershaw. A lot of miles. He does it differently. He did it differently yesterday. He pitched his way around that Nationals lineup or through that Nationals lineup, and Kenley Jansen is a different reliever. You just can't expect him to shoulder the same workload, especially coming off a season like last year.
Yeah, and what's so wrong, Dave, with going with, all right, every second or third day, we're going to let Kenley come in here and close it out because we think he's got the proper rest, he seems to be mentally ready, and then use Knebel, or when Gratterall gets back, or use Treinen. Why do you have to use Kenley every single game? If the way the Dodgers approach things is always putting people in their best position to succeed, if they do it like that, that may be his best position to succeed.
And I believe they realize that. And I think moving forward, that's what you're going to see. And it's not being a high-maintenance reliever. There's other relievers that do that as well. But the Dodgers have built this team and this bullpen not around one guy. There are multiple players and pitchers that can pick each other up. And especially when Brusdar Gratterall comes back, the Dodger bullpen will look more whole and make those pieces fit together a little bit better than what it is now without the bazooka.
Without the bazooka. I love that. And then, you know, on Clayton, do we put him kind of in that same category that we just talked about? He's a guy that's going to, you know, he's going to give you what he gave you yesterday, which was incredible. And then he may have a up and down outing. But the fact that the Dodgers are so good, there's no reason for anybody to panic on him either.
Rodney, he's another guy. After his opening day start, which really wasn't that bad, everybody was talking about, are they pulling him out of the rotation? What are they going to do with Kershaw? And here he is, back-to-back, really good starts. 8 strikeouts in Oakland, and then 6 yesterday, and 6 scoreless innings against the Nationals, and striking out Juan Soto looking in the last time he faced him. It was vintage Kershaw in the 2021 sense, where he was using his slider/cutter. He was commanding his pitches. He threw 41 sliders yesterday, and it's not always the one that goes down to the bottom right foot, and he only threw 30 fastballs. So he's doing it different, too. It doesn't mean he's less effective. He's just doing it different.
Okay, Dave, it's really interesting to me, and I was talking to Kevin about this morning. Given the depth the Dodgers have and the overall roster, I'd forgotten Mookie Betts wasn't playing. I mean,
I did not.
Yeah,
they missed
him a lot. Did.
I didn't either, Fred.
But I really did. I thought, I said to Kevin this morning, Mookie's not even playing. And we know Bellinger's now on the injured list. How deep are these guys? I mean, if Mookie Betts isn't playing and they are playing the way they are, that is a real problem for everybody.
They have a lot of really good players, but it is testing their depth because you had to put Edwin Rios in right field yesterday. And coincidentally, he never got one single fly ball to him. So he was just out there in right field. He never got one single play to him. He never had to make a play, never got a put out. So that worked out well for the Dodgers. But once you get Mookie Betts back, then you can move McKinstry around a lot more. That gives you that flexibility. And then when Cody comes back, which I'm not sure it will be as soon as some people speculate on Friday when he's first eligible, it would be nice. But just seeing him yesterday, it seems like it's just the beginning of him getting that ankle right. But once those two guys come back, then you have a lot more depth with Chris Taylor and A.J. Pollock and Zach McKinstry. For me right now, Fred, the Dodger position player depth is being tested.
Yeah, it is being tested, but they're coming through. I mean, I'll give it up to you again, Dave, because you said this over a year and a half ago about Zach McKinstry, who is delivering. I mean, he looks the part, he walks the part, he runs the part. I mean, he is playing extremely well, and you're not surprised, are you?
I am not. And I heard Oral Hershiser say that and describe him as a baseball player. Clayton Kershaw described him the same way. Ned Coletti's been describing him that way. And look, he's a perfect type of player for this team, especially after losing Kike Hernandez. he's a guy that knows how to play the game. He's smart. He understands the strike zone. He's a heads-up player. He's a smart baseball player. So all of those things have combined for him to burst onto the scene. And the people that I talked to 2 years ago saw this Zach McKinstry in AAA. And look, I know Gavin Lux got a lot of the hype, but I will say this. I believe Zach McKinstry is more of a complete player than Gavin Lux is, and Gavin still has a lot to prove and a lot to produce, and McKinstry has outproduced him so far in their young careers, that's for sure.
Yeah, and
hey, Dave, real quick, Fred, I was just going to say, since you mentioned Gavin Lux, and a couple games I was at, there were a couple plays where throwing was off and pulled Muncy off the bag. A couple of them were safe. Is that a thing that might be in his head, Dave?
From what I was told, Rodney, talking to people with the Dodgers, they believe that sometimes he takes his poor at-bats out to the field with him. That night that you're referring to was Saturday night. He was 0 for 4, and he pulled Muncy off the bag in the ninth inning, which allowed Juan Soto to come up to hit that two-run home run. Yep. And some people with the Dodgers believe that sometimes he takes his offense out to the field with him, good or bad. And I feel like that night he was 0 for 4, and he let it affect him defensively.
That being said, Dave, when everybody starts to get back, and you said the Dodgers' depth is being tested, and I look at it like this, it's being confirmed, everybody's back. Now, where do you find a place for McKinstry to play?
Everywhere. You could find, that's the value of him. You find a place for him everywhere. And honestly, Fred, if Gavin Lux doesn't get it done, I know they're giving him a long runway here, you're going to see a lot more of Zach McKinstry at second base when you have that outfield full of Mookie, Bellinger, and A.J. Pollock, and also Chris Taylor. I mean, this team is trying to win another World Series championship. They're going to give Gavin Lux every opportunity, and he's done some good things in the first 10 games of the season, but they're going to get guys in there that are going to produce, and they're going to find spots for them to succeed. But I will say this. Andrew Friedman is one of the most patient GMs in all of baseball. So don't expect Andrew Friedman to all of a sudden pull the plug on Gavin Lux after 10 games or after the first month of the season.
Yeah, and it seems like he came back, as you mentioned before, Dave, with a total different attitude to this season as he did the year before.
Yeah, 100%. He came in confident. He got the results in spring training, but here we are in the grind of 162 games, Rodney. You know what that's about. You guys have seen players that sometimes the grind is too much for them. And, you know, Gavin Lux still has to prove that the grind isn't too much for him. It's one thing to do it for a couple of games, but you got to be out there consistently. And the good news is, he doesn't have to be a star. There's a full lineup of all-stars and future Hall of Famers with the Dodgers. So he just needs to be himself and relax and try to put the ball in the air. We haven't seen him put the ball in the air and drive the ball that much yet.
All right. Well, Dave, we appreciate you coming on. As always, thank you for the information. It's an off day for you. So what will you do on your off? Oh, you have Dodger Talk tonight?
Yeah, we have Dodger Talk tonight at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to continue to bring up the fact that not only should Fernando Valenzuela be an exception to have his jersey retired, but I'll take it a step further that he belongs in the Hall of Fame for the impact he's had on the game, and that would settle the number retirement thing.
Well, they should retire his jersey. Why is this even an issue?
Well, the Dodgers have a standard, and I appreciate that standard, that if you are not in the Hall of Fame, you don't get your jersey retired. Jim Gilliam's the exception to that because of his untimely passing in 78. But everybody else is a Hall of Famer that has their number retired.
Well, looking at it like this, that's a stupid rule. Fernando should have his jersey retired.
I mean, if there's one guy to have an exception for, it's Fernando Valenzuela. They've never issued number 34 to any other player since he left.
All right. Well, then on Dodger Talk tonight, the people will air it out with you, Dave.
Well, take the baton, Fred. Let's go.
Go, Fred.
You know what? I'm in. Rodney, what about you?
It's a unofficially retired because, like you said, Dave, nobody has worn that jersey. So let's just make it real.
Look at some of the marginal people that they've put into the Hall of Fame. Have they had as great of an impact on the game's popularity than Fernando Valenzuela had on the Mexican fans here in Los Angeles, the Latino fan base in all of baseball?
Come on.
You're telling me Bud Selig had more of an impact than Fernando Valenzuela? That's part of the criteria of the Hall of Fame.
Well, Dave, we're on it now. We're on it. We're with you, and we're on it.
I love it, guys. Thank you.
We're going to start a countdown. Fred's going to start.
Here we go. Hall of Fame, Fernando.
Done. All right, Dave, you have a good day.
You too, guys.
Yeah, we got to get on that, Rodney.
Yeah, we do. I don't understand why he's not in the hall.
Well, the Dodgers have, apparently the Dodgers have rules. Rules are
right.
Made to be broken.
I mean, and I get the rule, but sometimes you gotta be flexible over time, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, are things the exact same they were 20 years ago?
No.
10 years ago? 5 years ago?
Not even close.
Yeah, they need to retire his jersey. Just because you're not in the Hall of Fame doesn't mean you're not in the Hall of Fame of Los Angeles.
He changed the culture of Dodger Stadium and Dodgers when he was here.
Absolutely.
And it's evident today.
You tell me another, think for a second, another time in our city where someone had that kind of impact. Or you could argue when Wayne Gretzky came, it really put, the Kings were on the map, but put them on the map in L.A. All right, I'll sign off on that. But you tell me someone that captured the imagination of an entire city like Fernando Valenzuela did. And don't,
the only other one would be Magic Johnson.
Johnson. Fair.
Because they came in as a rookie. They won the title. They hadn't won it in a while. Hadn't been there in a while. Rookie year, he came in. They won it. He was MVP, 42 against Philly. Yeah, that was a huge impact when Magic came for the Lakers. So on par with Fernando, you know, rookie of the year, World Series. I mean, he didn't have the country. He had North and South America was rooting for the Dodgers.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to win a title. It's one thing to do that. It's another to completely transcend what you do.
Yeah.
And become larger than life.
Yeah.
Fernando Valenzuela was that guy.
Yeah.
And you point out Magic Johnson was that guy. So the Dodgers have to retire his number. Nobody's worn it. Why don't you just make it official?
Just make it official.
That would
make it official.
Yeah, the classy thing to do. And, you know, given the way they operate now, I'm sure they will get to that point, and probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And if not, we'll remind them all the time.
That we will do.
Because we're the guys for that. Okay, Laker fans, where is your meter? 866-987-2570. So here's the deal. If AD and LeBron come back after the next 3 weeks, okay? After the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
I've got their schedule here, the Lakers schedule. So that will help
us. It's brutal leading up to those 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm saying. But, you know, as I look at their schedule, look at the standings right now.
Right.
They're not going to be in a position where, oh, my God, now they're in the play-in game. Oh, geez, they're in big trouble.
No.
I don't see that happening. I've got the schedule.
I don't either. But I will say that you know, the schedule, you know, notwithstanding the road schedule right now with the Knicks and Charlotte, it'd be great if they can get both those games, right?
Yeah.
If the Knicks and the hurting Charlotte team is banged up, because they got to come back and play Boston, then Utah twice, Dallas twice. So those would be tough stretches. But then, you know, they got a few softies in there.
Yeah. They do. I think they're going to be just fine. But, Laker fans, we'll run it down. Then you tell us, where is your panic meter? Green, no problem at all. Orange, okay, I'm a little bit concerned. Moderate. Red, we've got a real problem here. 866-987-2570. We'll hear from you next. And I'll tell you this, Rodney, I'm green. Green as green can be. Not a concern in the world.
Not a concern in the world?
No, and as I look at the upcoming schedule, check the standings, I think they'll be better than people think they will. But we'll hear from our listeners next.
That's right, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. On a Monday. It's a good weekend. It's a good weekend for L.A. Ready?
Yep.
Dodgers, Lakers.
Yep.
Lakers the homeless man.
Oh,
the homeless man.
Homeless man. Anybody know that guy that was sleeping in the suite at USC? Jumped in the jacuzzi with the other guys, hit at the training table and tried to catch punch. Would love to talk to that guy.
Yeah, somebody contact that guy. Have him contact us.
Yeah, would love to chat with that guy.
okay, Laker fans, so here's the deal. And we know that in this city, it's the Lakers and the Dodgers and the Lakers. They're 1, 1A, any way you want to look at it. That's what people talk about. So let's look now at the Lakers schedule quickly. Then we'll get to your calls. Let's look at the Lakers schedule, Rodney, and try to figure if AD and LeBron are back after the next 3 weeks. Here are the games that they would miss. They'll miss the Knicks today. They'll miss Charlotte tomorrow. By the way, Gordon Hayward is not playing for Charlotte.
Right. Neither is LaMelo.
Right. But with Gordon Hayward, he probably is really a really good guy. Has he ever played an entire season, Gordon Hayward?
I don't think so. That 1 year for when Utah made that run, he was healthy that whole season. Remember they made that run in the playoffs and got to the playoffs a little bit.
And that's how he signed with Boston?
That's how he signed. He had that big year, and then Boston signed him right after that.
Okay. So that was it. The guy is always hurt.
To answer your question, Fred, he's never played in 82 games. He played 80 back in 2015, but generally speaking, it looks like he at best he gets you about 70 games per season.
You know, and with all due respect, why would you sign him to a long-term deal for a lot of money? Because he is always hurt, and he doesn't want to be hurt. He's just one of those guys.
Yeah.
But he won't be playing for Charlotte. Okay, you have Knicks, Charlotte, Boston on Thursday. Two against Utah, two against Dallas, Orlando, the Wizards, and Sacramento. All right? I'm going to give them a win against the Knicks or Charlotte. So there's one.
They're going to split that, as you're saying?
Yeah, I'll give them a win there. I'm going to give them a win against Utah. I'm going to give them a win against Dallas.
Wait, you're going to give them a win? Again? Are you going to give them a win against Utah?
They're going to split those. There's two Utahs. Okay. I'm going to give them one win.
Wow. Without LeBron and AD.
That's surprising. You realize Utah still has the best record in the league, right?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Okay.
So that's terrific.
Do you have them losing to Boston?
I haven't decided yet. I'm going to give them a win either against Orlando or the Wizards, and I'm going to give them a win against Sacramento. 10 games, and I've given them 4 wins right now. I've given them 4 wins. And Boston, I'll say they'll get beat. So I'm going to give them 4 out of 10. 4 wins out of 10 games, they're going to be just fine without LeBron and AD. I know it's a lot to ask. They've got Utah back-to-back. They've got Dallas back-to-back. They'll take one of those. My meter isn't green.
Well, I think your 4 wins is right. I just think you're off about who they're going to beat.
Yeah, splitting with Utah, I don't see that happening. They should probably beat Orlando and Washington.
Yeah, and Sacramento.
Right.
So you're still giving them 4 of 10.
Yeah.
Okay,
They give them 4 of 10, which would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering they got to play Boston and Utah twice and Dallas twice on the road. 4 out of 10. Anything else would be gravy.
Okay, so they're going to be just fine. You know who Utah is? You want to know who Utah is?
Oh, Lord.
No, Eric Dickerson summed it up best talking about the Chargers. You know who Utah is? They're a nice little team. They're a nice little team. That's who they are. They're fine. That's great. They have the best record in the league. That's terrific news for them. We'll see you in the playoffs. We'll see you when it really counts. And we'll see what your record is. And they'll be there. They'll be competitive. Games will be tight. When it's all said and done, I'm taking the Lakers or the Clippers to beat Utah in the playoffs. Simple.
I think most people would, Fred.
Okay,
but just in the context of this conversation.
So then who cares if they have the best record in the league?
No, but I'm saying the Lakers will split with them. Like, no, they have the best record in the league. Playing well, and the Lakers aren't healthy. Fine. So why are you giving the Lakers a victory against Utah?
I'm giving them a victory against Utah because Utah's not going to come out and spank them 2 games in a row.
Why? And my question would be, why not?
Because
what would preclude that from happening?
Because human nature would indicate they'll get the first one, and then they'll relax, or the Lakers will fire it up. Or
does anybody relax against the Lakers?
Against this team?
It doesn't matter. The uniform.
Oh, please. Yes.
No.
When you're playing back-to-back games, Rodney?
No. You want to beat them back. You think that Utah is going to relax when they got a chance to step on the throat of the Lakers?
No.
Are you kidding me?
They have a chance to step on the throat of the guys wearing the Lakers jerseys. They don't have a chance to step on the throat of the Lakers.
Are you listening to what this guy is saying, Kevin?
Does that not make sense?
No.
Wouldn't be the first time.
That you haven't made sense?
Yeah.
Fred, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how good or bad the Lakers are, the Dodgers are, the Cowboys are, the Yankees are. Okay? When other teams play them, they want to crush them. period. Whether they're fully healthy or not healthy at all, they want to crush them. So to think that Utah's going to come in here and go, oh, we got the first one, so let's just we'll play our 7 through 12 guys for the rest of the second game, and we're going to lax a little bit, is ridiculous, Brad. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm ashamed of you for even saying that.
That's okay, and that's not the first time either that that's happened, but you've been ashamed of me. No problem. I'm just telling you, human nature to me seems like the Lakers come out and somehow fight and get a victory in the first one, then Utah kill them in the second. If Utah kills them in the first one, Lakers will come out strong, make a game of it, and can beat them.
And look, it's obviously not impossible for the Lakers to win. Look what they did to Brooklyn, albeit Harden wasn't there right. And Kyrie got ejected, but still, right. It was competitive. They were winning at the time Kyrie got ejected.
Right.
So on any given night during the NBA season, a team can hang with another team.
Right.
But I don't know, future projecting sitting here right now, that the Lakers will split against Utah. I've seen nothing from either team to make me believe that would actually happen.
Would you put money on that, Fred?
Exactly.
Yes,
there you go.
I would.
You would? Okay.
All right.
Let's do Eric Dickerson. Now everybody's
looking
at it a little different.
Hold on. Let me get my wallet. Yep. Or my, better yet, I'm going to show you my checkbook.
I'm looking right at it. Oh, I didn't realize we bank at the same place.
Just an ACH transfer.
Okay, so my meter's green. That's it. By the way, is your meter green, Rodney?
Oh, the meter is green. The meteor is green, and you know, I think that the time off is going to be a blessing. I know it's kind of up in the air, and it's gray when they do come back, but I think they're doing it for a reason. And if these guys can hold on, and the Brooklyn win was, I think, significant. It's keeping me in the green because now you know what they're capable of doing without these guys. And I think the addition of Drummond and the addition of McLemore will help them through this stretch and be better when both AD and LeBron come back.
All right, well, let's find out where your meter is. Paul in Oceanside. Appreciate you holding. You've been on hold for a while. You're on AM570 LA Sports. Okay, where is your meter when it comes to the Lakers?
Hi, Fred and Rodney. Rodney took the wind out of my sails a little bit, but I believe the Lakers are greener than green. I think they're getting stronger, these guys playing. But I got a little bit of a beef with Rob Parker and Jonas Knox taking over for you guys and bagging on the Lakers, saying that they're terrible, they're not going to make it. So, like when you train your dog not to poop in the house, I hope when the Lakers win it, you bring that Jonas Knox back and rub his nose in it.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. I can't, you know, we didn't hear it, but I'm shocked to hear them say they're not going to make it. Oh, they're going to make it. That's not the issue here.
What is it? For a time, we have to define what it means. Yeah, they didn't say they were going to miss the playoffs. They just didn't think they're going to win the championship again. That's all. Is that an unfair assessment if you happen to like the Clippers or happen to like Brooklyn? Are you crazy to say that I don't think the Lakers are going to win the championship this year?
No, but okay. And was part of that equation LeBron and AD are not there or they are
no,
there?
No, we're assuming that they're healthy.
And here's the thing that you run into is what we talked about with the Clippers last year, that they weren't healthy, right? They didn't play together. Is there going to be enough time for LeBron and AD to play together, especially with the new guys there, for them to gel enough to go through, which is shaping up to be, no matter who you play in the West, it's going to be a tough series.
That's exactly right. I mean, you just nailed it. Jaime in Chino Hills. Jaime, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
I just wanted to pretty much back up what the other caller said. Is the two bozos? I literally had to tune out because I couldn't stand the negativity that was coming out of their mouths. To be honest,
oh
with you.
Lord!
And then I tuned back in as soon as the two boys came back into the show. But I definitely see as green. You know, you got to stay positive, man. You got to just work hard and just, you know, keep at it.
Well, you know what? Jaime, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. You know, Kevin, you know
yes,
what we should
Fred.
Do, maybe?
Yes.
And I don't know if we can.
Okay.
Maybe we should call Jonas.
Okay.
And see if we can get him on in the next segment.
Okay.
And ask him to defend himself.
Okay.
To these listeners.
Okay.
What did they do to our lawn, Fred, when we were off?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like working at Chuck E. Cheese, Jonas. We're the big cheese. This isn't that, my friend. This is some serious stuff, and we're not going to let them sit here and do that to the Lakers.
I will contact Jonas during the break and see if he can join us at some point today.
Yeah, if he's available in the next segment.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has a new baby, but he's not. What's he doing? He's sitting there.
He's got a new baby. What's he doing, right, Kevin? I don't know what he's doing.
I know what.
I can think of so many things.
I'm pretty sure I know what mom's doing, but what's he doing? So call and see if we can get him on. All right, go ahead.
You said he's not a hands-on dad. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sure he is, Rodney, but, you know, look, at NBC, I got to tell you, there's a new law. I don't know if it's a law or, and maybe you guys know that are out there listening that work. If someone has a child at NBC.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we both have children. I am here to tell you that the majority of the work from the beginning of pregnancy is handled by mom. You help, but mom is doing it. You're there to support. You're there to give her a break. You're there to be involved. But please don't sit here and convince me that dad is handling the majority of it, because mom wouldn't let that happen anyway. At NBC, if you have a child, I think you get 4 months off. 4 months. Man or woman, 4 months. And I think that's great, because mom can use all the help she can get. When Rodney and I were younger and in our chosen field of endeavor, you didn't get that. You couldn't help. You couldn't be there as much. 4 months. So don't tell me Jonas is doing much of anything right now. What is he doing?
I'm gonna leave that one alone, Fred.
Yeah, I mean, 4 months. I mean, look, I wish I could have. It would have helped my wife. But they didn't give us that. So we know what Jonas is doing. He's not doing anything. All right, Solomon. Solomon and Lake Balboa, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, I'm green all the way on the Lakers. They're 5-3 in this stretch without LeBron and AD. Their weaknesses have been addressed with Drummond and McLemore. I mean, great. And they got 10 games still when AD and LeBron get back. And if their supporting cast plays even a semblance of how they played Saturday night, that is a tough team to beat. That is a very solid team on both sides of the ball. I got no problem with the Lakers and where they're going.
Thanks, Solomon. Yeah, Andre Drummond, good pickup.
You know, very good pickup. We didn't talk about him much when we talked to Bill earlier, but his game against the Nets was pretty good too. He frustrated them, and his presence is definitely felt when he's on the court.
All right, let's do Isabel real quick, our friend in Anaheim. Isabel, what color are you?
I'm green. Well, I was telling Kevin earlier, I'm much more worried about the Dodgers right now than I am about the Lakers. The Lakers will be fine. So,
thanks, Isabel. Appreciate you listening as always. Kevin, have we reached out to Jonas? That's all.
I have reached out, yes.
Have you had a response?
Wow, Fred, it was only 30 seconds.
No, seconds ago.
Did he respond yet?
No.
What's he doing?
Living life, Fred. You want me to roll to his house and see what he's doing?
No, but I'll
call him.
Give
him the phone?
No, we need to get him on today. Today. He must answer to the people.
We're working on it, Fred.
Okay, good.
That's right. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan on a marvelous Monday. Starting to feel like California. Starting to feel like L.A. Mondays, Fred.
Yep. Okay.
Beautiful.
Rodney, we do have an update. We have found Jonas Knox.
Yes.
We've located Jonas, and he will join us at 2:30.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. And what
you're going to give him the opportunity, Fred, to explain himself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes?
And you know what? You can make this determination. Should we not only give him the opportunity to explain himself, but should we give people the right to call up and yell at him? Kevin shaking his head no.
I don't think so, Fred.
We shouldn't?
No.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Kevin. You know.
Well, let's see what the temperature of the room is when we get there.
Mature heads have prevailed.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he would enjoy that. Don't you? I mean, he's a big guy. He can defend himself. But Jonas Knox will be on the show. We don't know what happened on Friday.
Who are you, like the old talk show? Was the guy Thursday. Richard Bay? I got something you don't know. It's blindside people all the time. You want to blindside Jonas? Oh, stay tuned, Jonas. Oh, no. Oh, we got a caller.
That's right. You are the daddy. How do you like that, Jonas?
Hey, by the way, hey, speaking of folks, Fred, I just got a text from our good friend Oral Hershiser.
Okay.
And he said that you are kinder and gentler now. But that was before the Jonas Knox comment, so I don't know if he's going to retract that.
You know, if you weren't with us on Friday when Oral came on the air, I said, Oral, you know, we feel left out. We feel hurt. You know, you try to be open with someone and let them know how you feel. And I said, we're hurt. You never mention us. I mean, you mentioned the radio station. You mentioned David Vasse. You've mentioned Petros and Money. I've known Oral longer than any of those people. I think we should be mentioned. And he said the reason he didn't mention us was because in my introduction, I was too harsh.
Yes.
So I'm glad he sees the softer side now.
Yes, but he just retracted that.
No. No. Who knew? Oral, come on in. Somebody wants to talk to you. Okay. Petros and Money are taking care of you today during the 5 o'clock hour with a six-pack of field tickets and parking pass for tomorrow's game against Colorado. Again, that's the 5 o'clock hour today for your chance to win a six-pack of tickets. We'll get you caught up on what has been going on, what has transpired while you have been in the office today. We'll do that next with It's Lit.